You are listening to the Essence of Change podcast, a conversation where transformation happens, with your co-hosts Omar Ben Musa and Dr. Keith Blevins. Here is the 8th episode.
Hello and welcome everyone to a new episode of the Essence of Change podcast with my co-host here, Dr. Keith Blevins. Hi, Keith.
Hi there.
So hello. Good to see you as always.
Good to see you. Really good.
Well, I'm lucky because I'm the only one seeing her here because this is an audio podcast. So today, we're going to be exploring insecurity, you know, like what it means and if there is anything to do about it when we do feel insecure. And when I was discussing this earlier with Dr. Keith, what came to mind is that insecurity, or this is a new definition that I had as an insight, and that I've shared it a lot, you know, in other podcasts and in my blog. Security is being okay with insecurity. And that means that, like, when I'm feeling insecure, in that moment, doesn't look to me that it's my thinking, and so I'm trying to do something about it. And so when I see that it's me who's creating this experience, and I'm okay with that, I am back to, you know, well-being, to the present moment, to where security lies. And so this is just the way it dawned on me, and it really saved me. This insight saved me, because I do remember, as I was sharing on my blog, that, you know, when I had this experience, I was with some of my friends in a coffee shop, and they were teasing me. And so I was taking that personal, and I was seeing myself getting upset. And, like, I know that it's my thinking, but that moment I really took it in. So I got offended. I took offense. Mm-hmm. And so what I did, I excused myself and I went for a walk, and I put music on and went to a park next to where I live. And all of a sudden I had this question popping up in my head about, what if security is being okay with insecurity? And with that thought came a beautiful feeling of, you know, it's like a huge burden was on my shoulder, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And that really changed my relationship with insecurity. So when I do feel insecure, because I still do, I mean, I'm still in the human experience. Welcome back to the human race, or welcome to the human race. I tend to be more gentle with myself, in a way, being okay with that feeling, because I do know that it will pass by, and before I realize it, I am back to security.
That's a beautiful way to say it. It shows that the character of it, doesn't it? The temporariness of it, the illusory nature of it. But, you know, like you're right too, it can really linger. You know, it can really endure. It can really be long lasting. If you don't, well, when you don't see it for what it is, it becomes a working state. You know, it becomes a condition, a problem, even a it takes on a life of its own, seemingly a life of its own. It's not really a condition or a disease or a symptom of anything. It's just a negative state, a negative feeling coming from thought in the moment, but unseen and unwitnessed and unknown, you can keep innocently keep kind of regenerating it, or being lost in it, or being in, under the spell of it almost. And that simple truth of it abolishes it. If you notice yourself, it will pause or go away by and large, but I shouldn't put it that way, because I think people often suffer from a chronicity of the regeneration of that same insecurity, and they suffer needlessly. And if it would ever, I'm just making this up, but if it would ever pause, they hardly notice it, or they don't notice that it's, oh, where did that go? Because it becomes kind of their ordinary state, their ordinary. And so any exceptions to that are hardly, they hardly register. It doesn't look like, oh, I had a brief moment there of forgetting about where I came from, or what was wrong, or what's the matter with life. But now I'm back to the real world. I'm back to what, you know, that something's really wrong here, and I'm suffering needlessly, and I can't help it. And it's got to do with something. Wonder what it's got to do with. And so you attribute false causes, and that really makes it endure. If you ever once see it for what it actually is, it loses its stranglehold on you. It's fascinating.
It is indeed. And like, the way I see it as well is that when I have this thought that I innocently engage with and identify myself with, I seem to have this feeling that we call insecurity to remind me that I'm sidetracking here. And so it's really interesting, because like whenever we try to identify with a thought which is not permanent, which is passing by, which is not constant, which is not true, not truth. And so whenever we do that, we get notified by our feelings that we are sidetracking. And that's just beautiful, because it's like a wake-up call that's bring us back to this present moment, this pure bliss that we live in. And we have another chance to jump out of that train and come back to what is permanent. And what is true? Come back to who we truly are. And so sticking with what is with what is permanent is indeed the healthiest way, let's say, or the secure way to much more beautiful feelings that we strive for as human beings. They are all within us.
So I think the way we're addressing this and pinpointing it is really important, because undetected, it sort of forms a modus operandi, if you will, a way of being that people get so used to. I was used to it too, and until I saw it for what it really was, not that it just disappeared, because it would, but to understand the nature of it. that what its real nature was, that it was a thought, and that's all it was. So I think when you really get, and that probably somehow happened to you when you took your walk, and then you saw it as security is being comfortable with insecurity. That's how I heard you say. That was like, oh, something happened to you there then that kind of gave you a really profound, accurate take on it. And it decreased its ability to take on a life of its own, which it doesn't have. It doesn't have a life of its own, but it can seem subtly, it can seem like it does have a life of its own. And so then you blame it, you create other things around that. And so that's a subtle little thing. It's just a tiny little thing, but it can linger in the human experience to be a real torture chamber.
Absolutely. And what's interesting about it is that when we when we see insecurity for what it is, that it's a thought generated experience, or a virus of the mind, I would say. It's really there to not stay. It's like an unwelcome guest, but we do sometimes get caught up in that and make it identify with it and you know, like serve that guest a coffee and interact with that insecurity until we do believe that something is wrong with us.
Yeah, give it dinner, welcome. You got any friends? Could you bring over some friends of yours in security, and we'll have a misery party? Yeah, right.
Like now people are having a Halloween party, and so our Halloween party that we are having almost every day is interacting with these negative thoughts without even noticing that we are doing it innocently. And so when we do realize that, we kind of leave the party and we join a better party, a pure party where security lies. And it's just it's fresh and beautiful to be in that party, and that's the only party there is. Because you are in truth, you are that. And the beautiful thing about that is just that you're more in tune, more present to do whatever you want, to be more gentle with your loved ones and your family, to be kind to people without really trying to be that. You're that because, like, we are really these things. Like, these qualities are built in us, and this is just fascinating that we don't need to do anything to have it. It's already there. Like, we are divine beings. And what's more fascinating is that we do have guests that are unwelcomed, and then we make them feel more welcome. But we don't have to. We have a free will to use. And we can use it for our own well-being. And decide to leave that train of thought.
Mm.
And as I love to say, it's wait on the wisdom platform. For the insights, the inside train to come.
The inside train. Oh, right, right. I'm reminded of I was working with a group of convicts who were in jail at the time, and but they were really catching on to, and they were realizing, you know, each one in their own way that, oh my gosh, if I'd have known this, I wouldn't have behaved in such a way as to wind up here. You know, that this was just I was just acting out of insecurity. And one of the convicts said, he says, you know how those cop shows, you see those cop shows and they corner the convict and they say, drop the gun, step away from the gun, nobody gets hurt. That's what he said. He says, that's like insecurity. If you just step away from it, nobody gets hurt, you know, and there's no arrest will be made. There's no incarceration, et cetera. Like, there's freedom if you step away from the gun. But the gun, of course, is just another metaphor for that trouble that it seems so necessary to defend yourself or take offense or be out of that, of your true nature, that it is tempting. Now, if you understand, if you really get that insight like you had, Omar, or you get anything from this podcast, if you can really see, it's always one thing. It's never a variety of things. It's never all these other blame game things that it involves. And Sidney Banks said it once. He said, just never mind why. Never mind why. Was just like, if you can never mind why, that it, your own legitimate reasons for it being there, if you never mind why, those reasons, those justifications disappear, and you've stepped away. You stepped away from the gun, and nobody gets hurt. But what a fine little detail about the human experience, isn't it? It's just a subtle little thing. It's just one little trick almost that gets pulled on you, and you think it's something else, and then you're off to the races with it. So I think this is a really important tiny little mistake, or a tiny little misdiagnosis, or a tiny little false discriminator that looks like it's something that it's not. And that's why we call it an illusion. It looked like, oh, I thought it was a grizzly bear, and it turns out it was just a shadow. But in that grizzly bearness that it appears to be in the moment, that's where we all misunderstand.
I love it. Like, I'm so fascinated by, you know, like, having an insight around a certain thing that used to really disturb us, and seeing it clearly for what it is. Like, insights are really like bursting the bubble and letting our, as Sidney Banks used to say, letting our ego collapses around that subject. I was watching recently an anime called Death Note, And so in this anime, there is this student guy who somehow got this book in his hand, and it's called Death Note. And in this book, every name you write, like if you write anyone's name, they will die in a 40 second. And you could write the cause as well. And you have 6 minutes and 40 seconds to do that. Anyways, it's really interesting watching that. But the thing here is that an insight is like around a certain subject that used to disturb us, like a traumatic thing in the past or a difficult person you're dealing with that seems like it's bringing you all these insecure feelings and stress and anxiety. When you see for yourself that it's truly something that is coming and generated from within us, and it's not really out there, our ego collapses around that subject, and it's like we write it inside the Death Note, that specific thing, and it's gone. And it's I call it the death of the ego around that subject, and it comes with such a beautiful relief. And what's amazing about this is that we all have this. It's in each and every person in this planet, and nobody is superior or inferior to anybody. And it's just good news, and it's good news for the whole world.
It's like a truth that everyone, where everyone's truth about that is the same. I think it was Tolstoy or something that wrote in Anna Karenina, one of his greatest novels, that every happy family is the same. Every unhappy family is unhappy in their own way. And I think that alludes to what we're talking about, because if you could do a cross section of people who are in the moment really secure and enjoying their lives, they would all be the same. They would all know exactly what we're talking about, and they would say, "Oh yeah, right, gotcha." But in the unhappiness of another cross section of people, in a level wherein they are suffering, you know, well, then I've got, you know, my suffering is of depression. Well, my suffering is anxiety. Well, my suffering is alcoholism, or my suffering is judgmentalism, or my suffering. Everyone has their own little, you might say, brand of suffering needlessly, but it's all the same. It's all the same diagnosis. It's all the same. All those conditions are all of the same nature. And we're the essence of change. We're talking about that little moment, that little shift to see the true nature of change. It's immediate. It's shockingly simple. You know, you want to say, oh, never mind, you know. But if we knew more, if we better understood the essence of change, then we would all be better off, because we would tolerate that better, I think, in ourselves. You know, we would be less prone to fictionalize about it and to endure it and keep regenerating it, because you can keep regenerating it, as we know, and it does create, it creates war, it creates strife, it creates fear, it creates jealousy and doubt. It's a Pandora's box of insecurity. And if you know it for what it is, and you said it earlier, even if you've opened it up, you can close it again. Like it's not a condition. It's not permanent. So the Pandora's box isn't something that you unleash it and then humanity's forever, a victim of it. It can be closed and disappear. And because of that, it has that impermanence, and the security is immortal. It has no conditions upon it. All these insecurities all have conditions on them. If you look at their nature, they always have that unique blame game going on, misidentification of truth going on, all of them, every single one of them. Then you've really learned something of value for your life and the life you lead. And don't be afraid then. Well, I can say don't be afraid, but I know you may get afraid, but it won't last very long. And you weather the storm of it. And you know what the truth is, and you know what the not truth is. You're going to be very fortunate indeed.
I love that. It's not a stalker behind our backs, right? Once a thought has been thunk, it's a done deal. Beautiful.
And isn't it beautiful too? When you see behind that, you see that the mind will catalyze your thinking, positive or negative, inside out or outside in. What a gift that is, that it's a beautiful, it's like a genie, you know, that will, if you say the wrong, you know, the genie, the genie occur, you know, to the, in the fables, the genie occurs, and then you say, you stumble and you say the wrong thing, or the genie hears the wrong thing, and then bang, you've got this mess on your hands. Like I remember there's a famous cartoon, it's in Fantasia, an old Walt Disney thing, and the wizard leaves the mouse in charge of his laboratory, and the mouse is kind of lazy, and he thinks, oh, you know, I'll use some of the wizard's potions, and I'll get somebody else to do the work for me. So he makes his broom into two brooms. Well, then what happens is he's sitting back, and then the two brooms somehow turn into four brooms, and then eight brooms, and then 64 brooms, and then pretty soon the brooms are marching through like Nazis through Berlin or something like that, and they're destroying everything and tear down the wizard's entire laboratory, and is scaring the dickens out of everybody. And but that's kind of a metaphor for what, when this takes off on you, what havoc it rains. But if you see it for what it is, bang, is a dream. And the mouse wakes up. I think it's Mickey Mouse that actually this happens to. And then he wakes up and it's all back. The wizard comes home and everything's intact, and all is good. But waking up from that dream is the the dream is made manifest too by the mind. The mind will act as a catalyst that turns your thought, whether conscious or unconscious, into the experience you now have. But what a beautiful thing that is, because it's heaven or hell, and use it wisely, and it creates a different reality here on Earth. It's so simple.
That's beautiful. I remember it. Someone once said that there are decades when nothing happens. There are weeks when decades happen. And this is just our capacity to entertain any unwelcome thoughts. Unwelcome meaning that is making us suffer, really. Entertaining this for hours or days or weeks, but it's really up to us to really understand that we have nothing to do with that unwelcome guest, and it's passing by anyway, and we can just let it pass, including insecurity. Well, myself and Keith are going to start a program on January called the Scientific Psychology of the Future. So I just want our listeners to know about this. And what we're going to do basically is just zoom in into the scientificity and the specificity of this understanding that we share in this podcast and we do in our works. It's something that we're really excited about, as we see it as something really special and never done in the community. So we're looking forward to it. And so if anyone listening and want to know more about that, please follow the links under the description of this podcast. And yeah. That's it. Do you want to say anything about that, Keith, before we end this beautiful conversation?
I think it's a beautiful program because just because of this specificity that we're referring to here, but it does, that illusion can really take on, but there's a solution to that illusion. There's a solution to the illusion. And now, oftentimes people will focus a lot on the solution and the feeling of the solution, which is a wonderful thing. But also, making it a science, not just a mood passing or something that's it is simple, but it's also revolutionary. And it's science. That science, that truth, the truth of the science of the three principles, how they work, how they provide freedom for every person, is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And to draw that line, there's a red line that's there for all of us. And as humanity begins to successfully negotiate that, it will mean a revolutionary civilization without suffering needlessly. And if that goes out into the world, then our behavior, our everything changes. Everything. It's because we are the experiencers of our own use of these principles, and we could become better stewards of that power.
Absolutely.
And I think, and I know you would agree with this, but I think that's the only way to change the world. You can't change the world from the outside. You change it from the inside out. That's the only way that could possibly occur. And we get to benefit from that process. Well, thank you, Omar. I appreciate this time together. And
my pleasure.
Whoever listens enjoys it.
Me too. Me too. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.